Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. The Vols in action tomorrow, taking on the number one team in the country, the Georgia Bulldogs. And to help us talk more about that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend Adam Sparks from the Knoxville News Sentinel. Adam, what's going on? How are we doing?
I'm doing pretty good. How y'all doing?
We are great. Great. Appreciate you taking time to join us today. So, Adam, start with your thoughts on the Kentucky game, and specifically offensively, what Tennessee was able to do in that game and how you think that offense might translate tomorrow to a matchup against the defense I'm not sure we've seen in college football for a long, long time in the Georgia Bulldogs.
Yeah, well, I mean, the anomaly of the Kentucky game is what I'm interested in seeing moving forward. The winning a game 45-42 in which you had the ball for less than 14 minutes. That's I saw something the other day. I think that was like the third time in college football history or something like that had happened.
Yeah,
that's what Josh Heupel. That's the reputation he had. That you're going to score fast and you're going to go fast, but you're also going to put a ton of pressure on your own defense, and they're going to have to be out there. They've out there a long time. They've done that all year. I mean, it's pretty common now that we ask defensive players after the game, what was it like to play, 80, 90, 102 snaps? And they say, we got by, it was fine. I'm curious to see if what we saw in the Kentucky game, if that ever happens to that extent again, or if that's just the most extreme case. So it worked that time. It could have a tremendous downside in a game like this because, Georgia's given up, they've given up five touchdowns all season. They're giving up less than 7 points a game. If you have a lot of three and outs against Georgia, that doesn't go well. I tend to think it's going to go the other way around. I think Tennessee will score more than anybody else has scored on Georgia. I think Georgia wins the game, but I don't think Georgia's seen an offense quite like this. And this offense is starting to peak, and that says a lot for where Heupel has developed things because you didn't know if it would get this far maybe a month or so ago, but it's better every week.
Yeah, and Hendon Hooker just man, I mean, I watched him a fair amount at Virginia Tech and liked him. He was a good player, but it's pretty amazing to me just the command he seems to have out there, the quick decisions, the touch, the accuracy. And then, of course, he's made some big-time runs that have really been important in some of these games. What is your sense for Hendon Hooker, why he's been able to do this, but also like what things look like moving forward? I mean, I haven't heard a lot of like NFL buzz on him, which may be great for Tennessee, to have him next year and think about him with the full season and getting all the ones reps. But where are things going with Hendon Hooker?
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned NFL because I'm trying to think who the comp would be in the NFL for Hendon Hooker in terms of his path, because I think Hendon Hooker, when you have guys that play and then go in the transfer portal and go elsewhere, they either have been exposed at their previous stop, which is what Joe Milton was, so it doesn't work out at the next stop either. Or you have Hendon Hooker that he just played a lot at Virginia Tech. It wasn't great. It was fine. He played a lot, and he looks like, to me, command is the word you used. I think it's a good word because he looks like a guy that's played a whole lot of college football. Good decision-making. He didn't throw a lot of picks, obviously. He knows when to tuck it and go. He doesn't get rattled. Got a lot of physical toughness to him when he runs the ball, but he also makes good decisions in that a lot of the time. He just looks like a guy that plays a lot. And I was saying NFL because think about the guys that have played you know, as first or second year guys in the NFL the last few years, that they got exposed early, and then that guy that was a top 10 pick, you never heard from him again, and he was done. And then you think of other guys that have gone into the NFL, it hasn't worked out at the first stop, but then the second one, it looks like they learned their lessons. And it looks like, hey, it's good that they played 32 games at that other place and were not great. We can tell they've learned their lessons here. And I think that's what Hendon Hooker is. He's the success story of a guy that's played a whole lot of football and then translated it into better performances at his next stop.
So, Adam, with that in mind, obviously the Georgia defense has just been awesome. What do you think is the key to generating offense tomorrow if you're Tennessee? When you look at Georgia's defense, I mean, they've got a front four that gets after the quarterback every week. They've got, you know, secondary that has no problem covering people. Their linebackers are so fast. Like, what do you think the path is for Tennessee hanging around in this game?
Well, I mean, the obvious one is they got to score quick. And, you know, Tennessee, the scoring differential in the first quarter for them is pretty close to what Georgia's is. Yeah. They outscore people by a lot of points in the first quarter. So I think the key to this for UT is you've got to have small wins. So Georgia hadn't given up points early. They've been down 3-0 twice, and that's it. They've trailed the rest of the year. You score one touchdown in the first quarter, that's a small win. If you can get to two touchdowns in the first half, Georgia hadn't given up 14 points to anybody all year. You get to that point, that's another small win. And the longer you string this out, the more that Georgia looks at it and says, this isn't like any other opponent that we face. You turn this into a game. I think a big thing is just going to be sort of fundamentals of, like, downfield blocking. We saw in the first play against Kentucky, Javonte Payton breaks the wide receiver screen for 75 yards. He made one guy miss, but that was done because two other guys out there on the outside had really, really good blocking, and that sprung him, and he was able to break it free. That's what they have to do. No penalties, good downfield blocking, and just move the ball. I mean, UT has shown if they get a couple of good blocks, they get the right play call, which Josh Heupel does really well, they can score on you quick. And hit Georgia a couple of times with that, you've got a game. I mean, Georgia's blown out everybody, but their offense is not phenomenal. It's good, but it looks much, much better because of what they have on the defensive side. Scoring that defense a couple of times, and you've got a game. And I think Georgia would feel a little bit of pressure on offense having to keep pace if they see an offense on the other side that's going quickly.
Okay, I want to get your prediction on three things separate from this game, Adam. One, recruiting. How do you think it finishes in this last month? Do you think that they are going to translate some of this really encouraging first season into, you know, some scores on the commitment trail? Two, the bowl fate of the Vols. And three, the investigation and ultimately the penalties Tennessee football will face. That's a lot.
Okay. So one, the recruiting, they're in, the lower 30s right now. I think they get into the top 25. You see these things swing with Power 5, especially SEC schools late, where you land a couple of 4 stars late, and that bumps you up like 8 spots. I think that's what's going to happen there. I do think Josh Heupel's team is better suited for transfer portal guys than freshmen. So I think you could see them bring in guys better than what their recruiting ranking shows. The bowl hopes, they're going to finish 7-5. They'll lose this when they win the last two in South Alabama and Vandy. At 7-5, you're going to be in that pool of 6 bowls. Was it Outback and then Duke's Mayo, Liberty Bowl, Music City Bowl, Gator Bowl, and I'm forgetting one of them. But there's that group of 6. They'll be in that one. Music City wants them badly. It would help the economy a lot after losing the tourism from last year. Liberty wants them badly. They were supposed to have them last year, haven't had them since like 86, 85. They want them in there. Duke's Mayo makes some sense. They could go with any of the 6. All those 6 are even in the bowl selection and where the SEC put the team. 7-5, they will be in one of those. They're an exciting team right now, so they're not going to drop below that. And then NCAA investigation, UT is selling self-imposed sanctions bigger than they are. So, you know, we didn't have any official visitors for the Bowling Green game. Well, Josh Heupel said himself, I had a story the other day where he had said back then, well, you usually don't have that many visitors on a Thursday night game. So they're selling that NCAA like they made a huge sacrifice. They really didn't. I think they're going to sell, self-imposed ban, that they were down 14 scholarships this year. They only have 71 scholarship players. Well, but you had, was it seven super seniors? So you didn't have 71 players, you had 78 because you're counting super seniors. So, again, the sacrifice is minimal. And I think they're selling that a lot, and it'll be interesting to see how the NCAA reacts to that because the teeth is out of the NCAA lately, it seems. But it could be insulting to them if you say, we've made these huge sacrifices, and they say, no, you really haven't. Sometimes that doesn't go well. So there'll be some moderate sanctions. I think most UT fans will think they will be too harsh. But I think for UT, you just want things that hit them a little bit in recruiting here and there and not into something like a postseason ban, because this had nothing to do with on the field. This had to do with recruiting. And UT is hoping that the sanctions will be just in recruiting and be enough that they can sort of weather that.
Adam Sparks from the Knoxville News Sentinel on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Adam, last thing for you here. How excited, encouraged should Tennessee fans be by what they've seen on the field from this team and specifically from this coaching staff so far in year one?
Well, I mean, 7-5 is what I picked them at in the beginning of the year, and I think that's what they're going to end up at. It's weird to say because you are your record, but they're a better 7-5 than I thought they'd be, and I think they're better than most people would pick out. I mean, what you look for in a first-year coach is it going to get better? And this offense is going to continue to get better, and the brand of defense is going to continue to get better if you plug in better players. So I think more the trajectory is what the story is on Josh Heupel's program. The trajectory is higher than the record right now, and that's really all you should ask for a first-year coach. So it's really good. I think the outlook is really good. That's what UT fans should be happy about.
Adam Sparks.
Hey, real quick, is Bev still celebrating the Braves championship? Do you have like Braves banners all over the house and stuff? Like, are you rewatching it every night?
She comes home from school every day and says, "Just letting you know, it's been so and so many days that we have been world champions." I haven't seen her wear a uniform. I take that back. She has worn a uniform a few times, but yeah, yes, pretty much every day. It's a reminder.
It's a daily parade. I love it.
As she should be.
That's right.
It's exciting times. So Adam, we appreciate you taking time to join us this morning, man.
All right, guys. Y'all have a good one.
You as well. Adam Sparks from the Knoxville News Sentinel, our guest here on Robbie and Rexford. We'll come back, react a little bit to what Adam had to say there. Get your thoughts on Tennessee versus Georgia. What sort of a chance, if any, do you give the Vols in this game against the Bulldogs? Hit up our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Join Chase McCabe tomorrow at Jonathan's in Bellevue at 7653 Highway 70 South and catch the SEC Game of the Week, which is Georgia versus Tennessee. Enjoy some great food, beer specials, and some game swag tomorrow at Jonathan's in Bellevue. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, now with two locations in Murfreesboro. Visit their brand-new Murfreesboro location at 2019 Memorial Boulevard. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Little T-Swizzle coming back in. Us Hendersonville folk have to stick together.
That's yeah, that's right.
Big day for Taylor Swift. Her remake of her Red album is out. I'm a big fan, and Chase McCabe and I have already been texting about the album.
I'm sure. Sure that you have.
Nice. Does that count as country?
No.
Okay.
Well, she used to be, and then she like officially made an album and was like transitioning to like.
Because I like Taylor Swift, so. Well, and Miley Cyrus. Does Miley Cyrus count as country?
No.
But her dad does. Billy Ray, Achy Breaky Heart.
Yep. We all love that one.
Do we?
Well, we all know that one.
We all know it. There you go.
Well, I like. Well, anyway,
shout
I
out
like
to Billy Ray.
I like both of those artists, Taylor Swift and Miley Cyrus. I think they're both good.
I can picture you windows down
you
in
like
the car
Miley
jamming.
Cyrus?
Yeah.
That shocks me for some reason. I don't know why.
I mean, again, have I heard a ton? No. I mean,
you big Hannah Montana
Katie
fan?
Katie and Caroline both like both of them. I've heard a lot more Taylor Swift. I think she's really good. But Miley Cyrus, this, I mean, and I'm sorry, but like Party in the USA, come on.
Windows come down, on. Rex Road.
We're all jamming out to
Party
that song.
Party in the USA.
Let's all be honest about this.
You a big Hannah Montana fan?
Yeah, see, I don't think I've ever seen a single second of Hannah Montana.
Okay.
It just somehow missed me in the, you know, because it depends what your kids are watching at a certain time.
Yeah.
You know, and it just didn't really hit. Now, Doc McStuffins did hit, which is why we now have Doc McLovin.
Yes. Who hopefully is playing quarterback on Sunday.
Yeah, and shutting up.
We'll see what happens on that.
And not being dirty like the dirty Joker up here.
Little Mac Jones. See what happens. See if Mac Jones tackles anybody coming up on Sunday. Yeah. Twist their ankle off.
Throw a pick on purpose so he can target someone.
Interesting NFL weekend coming up. All right, so what sort of a chance do you give the Vols in this game to pull off the upset?
Not a big one, but, you know, I was thinking about this with this game and with the Alabama game. When's the last time – well – and then I just thought about it again, and I'm making a stupid point. I guess I should just stop making the point. Because last year was the last time. There was a thought that they had a hope. It feels like for the most part.
I would say there was not much thought that they had a hope heading into the Georgia game. Now, halftime of the Georgia game, yes, there was a thought. But I don't know that many people thought last year. I mean, the line last year, if I remember correctly, is like a couple touchdown favorite for
Georgia.
Was
it that high?
Yeah.
I thought that going into that game, based on they had played very well against what we thought was a decent Missouri team, that there was some optimism that they could give them a game. But for the most part over the years, it's just been like this hopeless situation, especially with Bama, right?
Yep.
I mean, year after year after year. But even with Georgia starting with 17, when everybody knew they were going to come into Neyland and just blow the doors off that team, they did. You know, like you haven't had a lot of it. Like those games have just almost felt like upcoming dental trips for Tennessee fans.
Yes.
You know? And this, I think, like the Alabama game this year, it's kind of like, huh, I don't know. Let's see what happens. This could be interesting. I mean, the Florida game, too, it didn't work out well. You replay that one, it might be very different. But I mean, obviously, the Alabama game, you're talking about a close game as you near the fourth quarter. And I don't give Tennessee a lot of chance because I think Georgia is flat out the best team in college football this year. I mean, based on everything we've seen. And it's true, they have dominated. They have not played the toughest schedule, but I still think that they are that team.
Yeah.
But I do give I agree with Sparks. I mean, I think that they are going to score more points than anybody has scored, and I think that they have a chance to – it's just one of those things, can you get this to a fourth quarter game? And does that do anything psychologically to Georgia other than the Clemson game, which at the time we thought was this clash of the Titans? When have they had to sweat in the fourth quarter of a game?
They haven't.
I don't believe that they have. Now, would they wilt if they do? Probably not, but it'd be interesting to see. I feel like it's an interesting game.
Yeah, it's intriguing. I mean, that's kind of the word that comes to mind, mainly for the big matchup of Tennessee's offense and Georgia's defense. Like, as productive as Josh Heupel and that offense have been, this is a whole different animal that you got coming up against Georgia. Can you score? Can you move the ball with any sort of consistency against this Georgia defense? Because, I mean, we talk about scoring. There haven't been many people that have been able to move the ball against this Georgia defense. I mean, they're insane how good that they've been. So, you know, that's, to me, can you hang in there? Because I agree with Sparks. Like, I think Georgia's offense is good. I don't look at Georgia's offense. Like, there's not one player that comes to mind where I'm like, oh, you're terrified of that guy. Like, I think they have a good offense. But Alabama's offense is better than Georgia's offense. They've seen some better offenses so far this year. So, who knows? If you move the ball, put up some points, you might be able to hang around in this game.
No, I agree. And that's where, moving beyond this, like I am very intrigued by a Georgia-Alabama game just because Alabama has the kind of guys that are like that who do scare you more. And you know, so maybe they can really puncture that defense. But I think this is the first opportunity, and I think this might be the first time that Georgia's defense looks human this year. And if not, then honestly, I think even if they go in there and just completely stifle this Tennessee offense, I'm more impressed with Georgia than I am now when I think they're the best team. That would be very impressive. That would be the most impressive thing that they've done this year based on how Tennessee is playing. And some of this also is health. I mean, we don't know the backs. How are they? How's the offensive line? You got to have everybody, all hands on deck, playing at their highest level. But, man, Hendon Hooker in this offense and his receivers and the play calling, the scheming, I think they're going to have some stuff to move the ball.
Coming up next, it's time for Pigskin Pick'em. We'll pick the Tennessee game, the Vandy game, the Titans game, and get to some individual selections, both in college football and the NFL as well. That's coming up on the other side. The Nashville Predators will honor recently retired goaltender Pekka Rinne by hanging his number 35 in the Bridgestone Arena rafters on February 24th, 2022. And in honor of this night, the team announced a 35 Pekka plan. This ticket plan allows fans to attend either three or five games during the 2021-22 season, including the February 24th game against the Dallas Stars, while also seeing a donation made to the 365 Pediatric Cancer Fund presented by Twice Daily at Monroe Carroll Jr. Children's Hospital at Vanderbilt. The 35 Pekka plan is the best way to get tickets to this historic event, and all fans in attendance will receive a replica Pekka Rinne jersey retirement banner. Visit nashvillepredators.com/Pekka plan to get your pack today. And it is that time of the week, time for Pigskin Pick'em here on Robbie and Rex Road. Joe Rex Road, as we do every week, we need a quick standings update, which continues to not go well for at least myself as of late.
Well, you and I are in a battle. After I went 5-1 last week with 6 points. Michelle went 3-3, looked human for a week with 4 points. You went 2-4 with 3 points. We all did get our locks.
We did.
So now Michelle at 38-16. 44 points, 6-3 on her locks, still a commanding lead. You and I both at 26-28. I mean, at least we need to get above 500, especially for me because my fantasy team is Cheeks.
Yes, it is. It is Cheeks.
Cheeks is the new dog water per teenage boys who hang around my house. Cheeks. My 1-8 fantasy team is Cheeks. So I got 29 points because I'm 3-6 in my locks. You got 28 points because you're 2-7 in your locks. So you have fallen to last place, but
yep,
it's very close.
It's very close.
Come on, tell them third, not last. Third sounds better.
No, last's fine.
Okay. That's okay, fine. Rob.
You're last.
The stretch.
And your Cheeks, yep. Okay?
Thank you.
Thank you. My new favorite word.
With that in mind, we begin today's competition of Pigskin Pick'em. Kentucky and Vanderbilt coming up on Saturday over on West End. Kentucky. A 21.5-point favorite in this game. Michelle Knezovic, I probably don't need to ask, but we begin with you, Kentucky and Vanderbilt.
I kind of like how you said Kentucky first before Vanderbilt.
Well, they are the road team.
Yeah, I know, but still.
You got to hold on those little things you can in a week like this, right? Michelle Perry. Yeah.
Michelle Perry is picking Kentucky. What was it, 21.5, 20.5?
21.5.
21.5. My Cats are going to have a comeback week.
There you go.
So, yeah, give me my Cats. No surprise, really, with that one.
Kentucky minus 21.5. Joe Rexroad, Kentucky and Vanderbilt.
I think this is hard. And the half makes, like, I think Kentucky's going to win by about 3 touchdowns. So I'm going to, I reluctantly go Kentucky. I actually envision like a 21-point spread, but I'll go Kentucky.
Thanks, Joe.
It's not for you. Michelle Apari.
I kind of joked earlier about my call your shot of Vanderbilt winning at halftime. I don't think Vanderbilt's defense can stop them. So I don't trust Vanderbilt's offense to score enough, and I don't think their defense can stop them. So give me Kentucky minus the 21.5 in this game.
What a movement.
I'm going to be so mad if I don't, if I'm wrong. But okay, go
Let's
ahead.
See what happens. Georgia and Tennessee coming up at Neyland Stadium. The blackout tomorrow for Tennessee, which Joe Rexroad just loves. Georgia favored by 19.5 in this game on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Joe Rexroad, we begin with you. Georgia and Tennessee. Georgia favored by 19.5.
Final score, Georgia 42, Tennessee 24. I think actually the Vols will have a surprisingly good game on offense. Surprising maybe to a lot of college football, but I actually think that, you know, the defense right now probably is suffering a bit for the possession time and will in this game too. But that means I'm taking the Vols in the 19.5.
There you go. So Tennessee plus the 19.5. I will go with Georgia in this game. I just think their defense is too good. I think they'll score some points in the second half to separate. They'll win this game by 24, I'd say. Give me Georgia by about 24 in this game. So I'll give me the Georgia Bulldogs minus 19.5. Michelle Knezovic, Georgia and Tennessee. Georgia favored by 19.5.
I think this is my hardest pick today because I'm really, really just not sure. And I was hoping that you guys would pick the same one and I would just pick the opposite.
Didn't happen.
But I'm just going to, you know what? I'm just going to go with Georgia. I don't really know. I mean, yep, not really an explanation.
There you go. Go Georgia.
That's fine. They are the best team in college football.
The Saints and the Titans coming up at Nissan Stadium on Sunday. Joe Rexroad has anticipated a rock fight in this game between New Orleans and the Titans. I'll start on this one. The Titans favored by 2.5. Give me the Titans in this game. I will go with the home squad. They're just on a roll right now. I love the way their defense is playing. Love the way they're kicking the ball with Randy Bullock, and I think they win this game by 3 or more. So give me the Titans in this matchup. Michelle Knezovic, the Titans and the Saints.
I'm going Titans, too, this week. Don't feel very confident in the Saints quarterback situation. Plus, even if we don't have Julio Jones, I think the Titans will be able to get it done in Nissan Stadium. And, yeah, give me the Titans.
The Saints and the Titans. Joe Rexroad, the Titans favored by 2.5.
Yeah, like I mean, I think this is like Titans 16, Saints 13, like that kind of game. It's close. And certainly the Saints could come in here and win this game. But I'll take the Titans and give the 2.5.
Now we move to the individual selection portion of the program, college football and NFL on the table. Michelle Knezovic, we start with you. Your first individual selection.
I'm going to stay in the NFL. Rams are favored by 4 against the 49ers. I think the Rams are going to have a bounce back week. Not sure if we'll see OBJ in there, but give me the Rams, and let's make that one my lock today, fellas.
Guaranteed. Locking down on the Rams against the 49ers. Joe Rexroad, your first individual selection.
Lions at Steelers minus 8. My God, is that a lock? I mean, lock that to the end of the turn of the Steelers going to win this game. And the Steelers aren't even that good, but, I mean, it's the freaking Lions.
You have no faith whatsoever in wide receiver one, Josh Reynolds, coming in there and getting things done?
I do have faith in him to have 3 catches for 28 yards.
There we go.
In a 30-point loss.
No respect to the Lions. All right, I will go. Give me Baylor plus 6.5 against Oklahoma. Not only is Baylor going to cover, Baylor's going to win this game outright. I don't trust Oklahoma. I don't think they're all that good. Give me Baylor plus the 6.5 against Oklahoma in this one. Joe Rexroad, your second individual selection.
Yeah, that's my next one.
Go ahead.
I don't have an alternative, so boom, same thing. Baylor, I'm loving Baylor. Baylor outright is going to win this game.
Against Oklahoma. Michelle Knezovic, your second individual selection.
So another college game we touched on earlier, the Oklahoma, and I'm picking the other one, Ohio State-Purdue. Ohio State is favored by 20.5. I really do not see them covering on this game. Give me Purdue and boiler up, baby.
Yeah, boiler up.
Purdue plus 20.5 against Ohio State as Joe Rexroad retrieves the mute ornament that was gifted to him today.
See, I appreciate that your mom gave me this for a Christmas ornament, but I like having it here, too. I can just hold it up.
You should, like, hang it on your mic.
Maybe what
something.
We do with it. It's just the trinket of whoever starts muting the most.
Could hang it on my ear. Yeah. Or your ear, whoever.
You got to hang it on the middle mic, and then you can move it. If you mute,
yep.
There you go.
Meanwhile, we need an unmute one for you.
My second individual selection, I'm staying in college football. Give me Penn State plus 1.5 against Michigan. I just think the Nittany Lions find a way to get it done. I don't think Michigan's all that good, and I think Penn State gets the win. Give me Penn State plus 1.5 against Michigan, and I will round us off with my final individual selection as well. Give me the Tampa Bay Bucks minus 9.5 against the Washington football team, and make it my lock. Locking down on the Pharaoh against the football team. Their pass defense has been atrocious all year long, and this is not the team to not have a very good pass defense against. I think Tom Brady is going to absolutely carve them up on Sunday. So I will lock down on Tampa Bay against the football team, minus 9.5. Joe Rexroad, your final individual selection.
I'm also going to look at the Big Ten. Minnesota at Iowa, although I do think P.J. Fleck is a good coach and has done a very good job at a tough place to win. and they're very up and down. They're at Iowa, and Iowa's -5. I think the Hawkeyes will win that game comfortably by about 10 points. Give me the Hawkeyes, -5.
Michelle Knezovic, your final individual selection is whom?
Finally, they did me dirty last week, Wake Forest, but I sense a comeback week, you know? Wake Forest is favored by 1.5 against NC State. I see them covering this one easily.
See, that was on my list the other way. I thought about taking NC State against Wake Forest.
It's a good D.
Well, yeah, who's winning this race, guys?
Oh, she just did scoreboard. She just said scoreboard.
I just said scoreboard.
She hadn't listened to scoreboard all week with Tennessee Kentucky, but just went scoreboard on me.
Nope. Selective listening.
Yes. I like it. Wake Forest -1.5 against NC State. That is today's edition of Pigskin Pick'em. So 42-24, your final between Georgia and Tennessee.
And I think like 35-24 and a grinding long drive to kind of cap it. So I think the Vols are going to make this an interesting game for a good three quarters.
You know, all of us kind of expect a low-scoring game on Sunday between the Titans and the Saints, which means I'm fully anticipating the 38-35 final coming up on Sunday. It's going to be great.
Probably. Yeah, probably.
Taysom Hill, three touchdowns.
All over the field, and Jeremy McNichols, 80-yard TD runs, and sure.
We'll go back, take more of your thoughts, looking ahead to the big weekend in sports on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube today and every day. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Joe Rex Road's favorite song, as we learned today, Parting the USA, coming back in.
I know every line. That is a road trip. Like, you know, you kind of have to spread the music around for everybody, and I try to dominate the music, much to the chagrin of everybody else. But, I mean, that's one of those, like, we got to jam that. And I'm like, you know what? That's one of those songs the kids would ask for that is not Cheeks. And I'm cool jamming that one.
Non-Cheeks song.
That's right. Warms the cockles of the heart.
That's right.
So did Brennan just teach you that term recently?
Yeah, it's like he and his buddies, you know, they used to call everything dog water. Well, it was like trash. Oh, that's trash. Then that's dog water. Now that's Cheeks.
Yes.
And actually, I kind of like that the best of the three.
I kind of do, too. It's kind of awesome. Oh, man. Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Got a texture that says, I think of this game, talked about the Tennessee-Georgia game, as the proverbial what happens when an unstoppable force meets an immovable object game. Neither team has played the caliber of the other when it comes to UT's offense versus Georgia's defense. The battle to watch will be UT's defense versus Georgia's offense. We can't be on the field for 99 plays again.
Yeah, and I mean, that's the thing. Great win at Kentucky, and Alante Taylor with the huge play to kind of get that separation. But that defense had a rough night. I mean, they got physically handled like I haven't really seen a team do to them, including Alabama or anybody, right? I mean, Pittsburgh was mostly Pickett running around and making plays to his receivers. So I do worry about Georgia with time-consuming drives and running the football in this game.
Yeah, and, you know, at some point, the cumulative effect too, right? I mean,
yes.
You're talking about a defense in Tennessee's that – it's not really got that much depth on it anyway, and you're talking about being out there every game for a ton of plays. You know, is it the world's biggest deal in one game? Probably not, but this is, I mean, last week was an extreme, and I realized that, but they've been out there a lot this year.
I mean, those dudes played 99 plays last game, and they don't really go deep.
No.
They played like two games worth of football and won, which is great. But, yeah, the cumulative effect thing is definitely a concern.
Drew from Mount Juliet texting in. Does anyone know the over-under on players with cramps, in quotation mark, for this weekend's Georgia game? Think Georgia's going to be taking some dives on the field out there, trying to slow down that Tennessee offense?
I mean, it's kind of a thing. It's really, you know, that's a thing that's been talked about for teams that have these offenses for a long time. But when you see it, you know, a team that you cover that, and you see it regularly, I must say they got to do something. I don't know what exactly, but I mean, like the one, I forget who it was for Kentucky. It was so bad. Just like this.
All of a sudden, it's just like there's some sniper out there.
Right. Yeah. Like a bad actor in like a Western. Like, you know?
I'm down.
I got to go down. I mean, it's bad. And yes, I bet you we will see that some. Because you know what? If it's in the rules that you can do it.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's what this game is, man. Cutthroat. You can do whatever you can do within the rules and maybe a little bit outside them. Right, Mac Jones?
I just love seeing Kirby Smart in that visor. I don't know what it is about him in that visor, but it makes me laugh every time. I enjoy it.
Yeah. He's something.
Maybe a little coach. Maybe hot mic this week for Kirby Smart. Had one of those last week. That was good.
Yeah, that was good. Got the hot mic on that. Got the hot mic on TD's video of Julio yesterday. Yeah.
Good stuff. Cody in the Borough texting in. I'm excited to see an offense that doesn't have a quarterback that's going to run for 100-plus yards. Our quarterback spy game has been terrible. Maybe some disrespect for Stetson Bennett there. What do you think?
He can run around a little bit. Yeah. He can do a little bit. But, yeah, it's not like some of these guys. Not like world-class. Yeah, Matt Corral, a world-class hurdler.
Will Levis.
Will Levis. But, yeah, the Corral thing was – that was a frustrating – it was like on 3rd and 10, like they're just going to run a QB draw and block it up and get it. And then there was also probably not enough spying in that game.
Probably not. Heidi from Dixon taking a shot at Michelle on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Heidi says, I need Michelle's thoughts on Kentucky football passing basketball in the next decade. I can't tell if that's a shot or if that's a legitimate question that she thinks that football might pass basketball.
You never know with
the
Heidi.
Next decade.
Well, I don't see that happening in the foreseeable future whatsoever, if that's a serious question.
Well,
if it's just some trolling, well done, Heidi.
Well, let me tell you this. If Kentucky makes a bowl game this year and Kentucky basketball goes to the
NIT. Stop it with the NIT, I swear, Robbie.
Is that passing basketball?
Right.
I would say so.
Like what bowl game, like what lower tier bowl game that Kentucky will probably have to play in would be the same as the NIT?
Is the Music City Bowl a step ahead of the NIT? I say yeah.
I would just like to let everybody know that yesterday at lunch I offered Robbie a bet that Kentucky would not make the NIT and they would make the NCAA tournament, and he declined.
Well, no, I'm not taking that bet.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's calling a shot. Yeah. I mean, yeah, no one would bet that.
Well, that's
yeah.
a stupid shot.
But if they lose to Bob Morris.
Bob Morris.
Bob Morris.
Which will bring me, I mean, just the fact that they're playing him brings me back to sweet memories of that NIT first round loss that Cal had to Robert Morris. Bob Morris. What was that? Like 20?
It's like 2011. 2012. Yeah. They won 2012.
Are you guys they just won the title. Trying to right. like punch
I think it was the year
me?
Before.
No. You guys are like punching me.
No.
Next week is a clean slate, okay?
Just got texted by Adam Binion. He says, go Devils.
I hate the Blue Devils. I hate them. Scoreboard, pigskin. That's all I'm going to
Michelle, really enjoying the end of the show.
Who do you hate? Like, who? What college basketball team do you hate the most?
Duke. Yeah, I will.
Easily Duke?
See, I could put the Tennessee shirt on. Like, that's fine. Ugh, Duke just makes me.
Yeah.
Ugh.
I love it. I mean, we need to have a, if they do, like, play in the NCAA tournament, we got to get you and Vingan together. So, I assume you've seen the Leitner shot. I mean, it was like.
Oh, yeah. Like, I mean, like 6 years before she was born.
Or
yeah.
any of the 7 documentaries made about the Leitner shot. Yeah.
I'm giving you the death stare right now, Joe.
Honestly, I'll tell you, you know what's funny about that is, I mean, I think like most people, either you're a Duke fan or you hate Duke.
Yeah.
I was so hard rooting for Kentucky that day because Kentucky was actually like the plucky little underdog team under Patino. They were coming out of probation, of course. And, man, that was such a killer.
No surprise.
Freaking Leitner, man. Didn't miss a shot that night.
Stillman texting in says the game in Shreveport that Vandy plays in is the NIT of bowls. It could be true.
So you're going to.
If the Wildcats get sent down to Shreveport.
You're going
to
throw shade at the Poulon Weed Eater Independence Bowl?
Yes.
I think not. That might be more
not
like
on this show.
That might be more like the CTI.
Because he thinks that bowl is cheeks.
There should be a cheeks bowl. Yeah.
Maybe so. Let's go back to the text line. Josh texting in. The Vols win in overtime 27-21, and the Titans win 23-3.
Whoa.
That's a lot of optimism.
What do you think about the Vols not only hanging up 27, but holding Georgia to 21 in this game, winning in overtime?
Yeah, there's a lot of shock and awe in that, if that would be the final score.
If that happened, I would gladly wear a Tennessee shirt again.
She said it. I'll bring it back in on Monday.
All right.
Not going to beat Georgia.
I don't think you're going to have to worry about that one.
Well, look, I mean, I ripped on someone on the text line last week. Who was that? Calling for the rout in L.A.
Yeah, it's 21-3.
Did you just mute yourself? Yep.
All right. Pass it on.
Yep.
We all need this thing. And I was close to washing a car.
Yeah, you were.
So if Tennessee beats Georgia and holds them to 21, I will wash your car, Texter.
There you go. NFL Week 10 continues on this Sunday, and FanDuel Sportsbook wants you to get the most out of every play. That's why they're giving everyone a $10 risk-free bet every single week. All you got to do is bet a same-game parlay bet with three legs or more. And if your bet doesn't win, FanDuel will pay you back up to $10. The Saints and the Titans in action coming up. Give me the Titans on the money line. Give me Ryan Tannehill under on the passing yards. Give me Trevor Siemian under on the passing yards as well. But you take it any way you want to take it. Offers like this are why I love betting with FanDuel Sportsbook. It's America's number one sportsbook. So if you're new to FanDuel Sportsbook, sign up today with promo code ROB to also receive 30-1 enhanced odds on either team to win during the Monday night matchup between the Rams and the Niners. Win $150 on a $5 bet. Once again, that promo code is ROB so they know that I sent you. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Refund issued is non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. A max refund of $10. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Same game parlay available for multiple sports in all states on mobile and web. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. That does it for us today. We'll be back 6 a.m. on Monday to break down the busy weekend in sports. Darren Donica Chase up next. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.